I believe, anyway, is rather important when it comes to our walk with Jesus. And that word is perspective. Now, you've used it a couple of times tonight already in the prayer and so on and so forth. I would never have thought of perspective somehow relating to my relationship with Jesus, but I started realizing that it does a few years ago now. I was in the middle of something. I can't recall what it was, but I do remember it was giving me some sort of angst, maybe a bit of anxiety. I was wondering how it was going to work out. Hey, praise the Lord. It's a grace and mercy. You're good. Sorry. So anyway, I was in the middle of whatever it was. And one day I was at my house. And this is when we were living up in Mountaintop, right outside of Wilkes-Barre, and I was pastoring the church in Wilkes-Barre. We lived in a small little neighborhood. And there's a lot of kids in that neighborhood. My kids loved it there, which was one of the reasons why it was so hard for them to move when we came down. But praise the Lord, they acclimate very well. They've already made new friends, and they're doing fine. Either way, on the outskirts of the neighborhood was really a big old track of woods. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. There were walking paths back there. There was a fire break that went up over the mountain back into the neighboring town. And Wendy and I had spent a lot of time walking back there. My kids played back there all the time with their friends. It didn't matter if it was spring, summer, fall, or winter. They were out there. And so this day that I was home, in the midst of whatever it was that I was in the midst of, I decided to go on one of my prayer walks back in the woods. So I walked down the road, and there's a trail that connects to the road, and so I went on that trail. Eventually, I made my way up to the fire break. And when I got there, I was really focused on the Lord, and I was praying however I was praying. And all of a sudden, I kind of looked up. Now, I was not at the peak of the fire break. You still had to walk up quite a ways. But where I was standing, the fire break obviously was open. The trees opened on either side as well, and you could see a far mountain. It wasn't incredibly far away. Maybe it was a quarter mile. But as I looked at this mountain, which, by the way, I had seen who knows how many times before, the Lord, with that still small voice, you know what I mean by that, right? Where he's just speaking to your heart. He drops the word perspective into my heart and into my mind. And two things happened. The first thing that happened was I felt a weight kind of fall off of me, which I needed at that moment. And the second thing was the word perspective became a part of my vocabulary as a follower of Jesus, and he began to teach me, even right there in that fire break, about perspective, specifically about seeing things the way he would see things, right? That's what he was getting my attention on, specifically living life and some of the troubles and the issues that you face as you live your life. You know, it's interesting. I guess there are different ways you can describe life. One way you can describe it, I don't like describing it in, but I think it works. It's kind of negative, but that is life is a series of problems, a series of issues that arise that you need to work through and get over the hump. And so what the Lord was saying to me is, Jason, you need to learn to see these issues, these problems. You need to learn to see life through my eyes. You need to learn to have my perspective on things. And so what I want to do is I want to share some scriptures that I believe tie into this idea of perspective. Before I do that, I would like to share with you a devotional from Jesus Calling written by Sarah Young. It's actually this morning's devotional. So if you read it, I know some of you have this, You're going to get a second dose of it. I read it this morning as well. When I read it to you, listen to it as though it's the Lord speaking to you directly. That's how she writes this devotional. Here's what it says. Welcome problems as perspective lifters. My children tend to sleepwalk through their days until they bump into an obstacle that stymies them. It's a great opening paragraph. And it's so true, isn't it? She goes on to say, if you encounter a problem with no immediate solution, your response to that situation will take you either up or down. You can lash out at the difficulty, resenting it and feeling sorry for yourself. This will take you down into a pit of self-pity. Alternatively, the problem can be a ladder enabling you to climb up and see your life from my perspective. Viewed from above, the obstacle that frustrated you is only a light and momentary trouble. Once your perspective has been heightened, you can look away from the problem altogether. Turn toward me and see the light of my presence shining upon you. It's a great devotional. And she's absolutely correct. And I have the word perspective underlined a couple of times here. As a matter of fact, I have some notes from last April 26th, which would have been 2016. And here's what I wrote in 2016. Hopefully it's not too personal. I didn't check this before I decided to read it. Perspective, this is a word that came to mind frequently in two places. In the woods, by the fire break behind Anthony's house, which was my son Josh's friend. And then the church on Blue Ridge Trail by the cemetery. Why? Because the view from the fire break and from the cemetery and from the church really lent to perspective. You can see far and it just kind of changes your attitude, I guess. So I read this a year ago today. And when I picked it up this morning, I didn't realize I was going to read it again. But sure enough, I did. And she's talking here, obviously, about perspective in the midst of those difficulties, in the midst of those troubles. And I love how she says it. You can respond to these difficulties in one of two ways. You can respond by lashing out at the difficulty, becoming negative, resenting it. We begin to feel sorry for ourselves. If we do this, we begin to fall into a pit. And if we don't stop ourselves, we realize that the pit is really, really deep. And we don't want to be in that pit because it's very hard to climb out once you're in it. There's a second way that you can respond. And I love her illustration of a ladder. Right? She says, alternatively, the problem can be a ladder, enabling you to climb up and see your life from my perspective. When I think of that line, I think of that day on the fire break, 3-4 years ago, however long ago it was. And at that moment, I chose to get out of the pit, climb the ladder, except in this case, it was a literal mountain, to a fire break, and the Lord changed my perspective. To me, it gives us hope. God's perspective gives us hope because remember, He sees the big picture. We don't. As we learn to rely on God and as we learn to see things as He does, we see things in His perspective, it begins to give us hope. And so my hope here today is that God would open our eyes, even this evening, that we would begin to see things even more so the way He sees them, and also it would be a good reminder for us to trust Him in the midst of the storm, that we would trust Him when we can't see anything at all. So, that's the devotion. Let me share some scriptures with you. As a matter of fact, she shares one at the bottom here that I want to share first. It's 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. Written by the Apostle Paul, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's a great passage of Scripture, isn't it? I alluded to it before in reading the devotion because she alludes to it, the idea of light and momentary troubles. We know that this life has troubles. We could be facing them right now, even as we're in here tonight, in one way or another. And what's interesting is Paul, man, he had some real troubles. This was a guy who was stoned almost to death, left for dead. Here's a guy who was thrown into prison. Here's a guy who was shipwrecked. Here's a guy who was brought before the magistrates. I mean, this guy did not have an easy life whatsoever. Now, I say that because I believe that gives us the context. Paul is not talking about light and momentary troubles as though you stubbed your toe on the wall. He's not talking about light and momentary troubles from the standpoint that your favorite football team lost the game. He's talking about massive life circumstances, almost being murdered, prisoned, almost dying in a shipwreck. I mean, those are upper level troubles. He says, those are light and momentary. At first glance, I look at it and I think to myself, Paul, you're insane. These are not light, and they certainly don't feel momentary. They hurt. So what is he talking about? Well, once again, remember, I'm sharing these scriptures as they tie into perspective. He's talking about perspective. And what he is saying is even in the worst of times, which he went through, compared to the glory of God and the eternity that waits us, these things truly are light and momentary, and it's a reminder to fix our eyes upon Him. Let's read them again. Let's go back to verse 16. Let's read all three verses again. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. And He was wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And then verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. It's a great verse. What is unseen here, of course, is the Lord. To fix your eyes on something means you fix them. You put them there, and that's where they stay. So what he's saying is, as you're going through these troubles, fix your eyes on Jesus. The book of Hebrews says He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't fix your eyes on what you're seeing. In other words, don't fix your eyes on the troubles. There's someone that we know who's bigger and greater than the troubles. And His perspective is a whole lot different than ours. I love these verses. For me that day, when I was up on the fire break, although whatever it is that I was dealing with was not what Paul was dealing with, it was a much lesser level. Even if I didn't realize it, I was learning that verse. It was a living illustration. Come on up on the mountain, look at me. Get your eyes, get your mind off of what you're dealing with. Second passage of Scripture, actually it's one verse. It's Isaiah 26, verse 3. Take a look at this one. Isaiah is speaking to the Lord. He says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Now, the Amplified Version of the Bible says this, you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace whose minds are stayed upon you because he trusts you. That word stayed reminds me a lot of the word fixed. When a person's mind is stayed or fixed upon the Lord, what happens? Well, that's where we find peace. That's where we walk in peace, even in the midst of troubles. And listen, neither of these passages of Scripture and the two others I'm going to share with you here, two others in just a moment, none of them are denying that troubles exist. You know, there are certain teachings out there in parts of Christianity that, if you take them quite literally, almost lead you to deny reality. Saying things are fine when they're not fine. Jesus never denied reality. When Jesus was on the cross, it hurt. He didn't pretend it didn't hurt. I mean, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It hurt him. It hurt him mentally. He was in anguish. It hurt him physically. It hurt him spiritually. He had the sin of the world upon his body while he was on the cross. Jesus never denied reality. He looks over Jerusalem, his people. He knows they're rejecting him. He didn't deny that and say, oh no, that's not true. What did he do? He began to weep over them. If you would only know the time of your visitation. None of these scriptures deny reality. Life hurts. When Paul was laying there in the dirt, nearly dead, I'm sure he hurt pretty badly. Okay? What they're teaching us, though, again, we go back to that word, is perspective. How do we see what's ahead of us? How do we see what's in front of us? Are we seeing it through our own eyes? Are we seeing it through the eyes of the Lord? If we have our eyes fixed on what is unseen, if we have our minds stayed upon Him, that's when the peace of God begins to flow. And that peace is greater than whatever it is we may be facing. Now, that's not to say that all of a sudden it's going to be the easiest thing in the world to overcome. You might have to get into His presence day by day, maybe minute by minute, depending on what it is you're dealing with. But the idea remains the same. Perspective is so incredibly important when it comes to marriages, when it comes to children, parents, family, when it comes to your job. I was reading today ESPN, you know, the worldwide leader in sports, just fired 100 employees. And many of them were on-air talents that, if you're familiar with the network at all, you may very well recognize. And it was seemingly out of the blue. I guess there was some rumbling that something was going to go down. There are, I think, 12 million subscriptions behind where they used to be. I guess money is tight. Things are happening. So there was some rumbling that something was going to happen. But nobody knew who it was going to happen to. Here you are. You've got a dream job, I would think. And now you're unemployed. How are you going to look at it? One analyst, his name is Danny Cannell. He was a quarterback for the Giants and for the Broncos in the NFL. He played for Florida State when he was in college. He said something on Twitter, and then he followed up with another tweet, and he said, I still have the important things, my faith and my family. That's perspective. That's the right perspective. That's God's perspective. He's seeing things. He's seeing the big picture. He's seeing the hand of God in his life, even in the midst of loss. And I'll tell you what, being fired is not easy. I have not been in that position, thankfully, but I've known folks who have been, and especially if you've been a part of a company for many, many years, and the next thing you know, you're let go. That's not an easy thing. You go through a time of mourning. Counselors will actually tell you, you go through a time of mourning. And I've seen it firsthand in family members. What's your perspective, though? Does Jesus still have a hold of you? You better believe it. Will he ever let you go? No way. So, fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep your minds stayed upon him. He'll guard us and keep us in perfect and constant peace, says the Amplified Version. Here's another scripture for you. This one is an interesting tie-in, but it ties in for me, so I'll do my best to tie it in for you. How's that sound? Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I'm going to turn to it in the Amplified Version real quick because that's my study Bible. And so when I think about these scriptures many times, I think about them in the through the lens of the Amplified Version, and I think I could probably teach it better because it's so ingrained in my mind. The same verse in the Amplified says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I love that translation. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Saying the same thing with different words. Now, you may hear this and say, well, how does that tie into perspective? It's a good question. For me, the question is, where am I going to find my joy? Where am I going to find my pleasure? Typically, in modern times, when we hear the word pleasure, we think of something that's probably not on the up and up. Maybe something sinful, something that's not quite biblical. But I think it applies here in a really good way because the greatest pleasure you're going to find is in the presence of the Lord. The greatest joy you're going to find is in the presence of the Lord. So, is our perspective going after God? Or is our perspective, I need more of the world? Where are we finding that joy? Where are we finding those pleasures? This is one of those scriptures where I think we've even talked about at the dinner table. I can't remember. She's saying we have. That's good because sometimes I think I do things and I don't always do them. And it's interesting because I look at my kids age 8 to 16 and 3 in between, and you better believe that their ability to find joy and pleasure in the wrong things is much easier than your ability was when you were 16. Even myself. They have access to things that when we were that age, we did not have access to. Not even close. So please, and I'm just sharing this because I know I've seen it before and it kind of breaks my heart. One of the things that can happen if we're not careful as you get older is you look at the younger generation and say, why don't they get it all together? And I think two things are happening. Number one, we forget what it was like to be young. And number two, we got to realize that what they're dealing with, we didn't deal with in a lot of ways. There was stuff that you had to go behind closed doors. Now it's at the palm of your hand. So let's not accuse the younger generations. Let's intercede for them. They need our prayer. I think of my kids. And I think, man, I was 16 in 1989. The very end of 1989, I turned 16 years old. That's not that long ago. Lord, give them strength because they're dealing with things that I never dealt with. They're seeing things. They have the capability of seeing things that I never saw before. It's incredible stuff. Either way, we were talking about this verse here, Psalm 16, verse 11. Where are you going to find your joy, guys? Where are you going to find your pleasure? Are you going to find it in the world? Are you going to find it in the Lord? It's a great question. What's your perspective? How do you see things? What do you want? I think it's important to go stand up on the fire break and allow God to give us perspective on these kinds of things. Allow us, Lord, to see your joy, to see your pleasures. And may we walk in those. May we walk in your presence. And one last one, which I think, I kept this one for last because I think it really does sort of tie it all together. And by the way, there are many other scriptures from where these came from. Okay, I just wanted to share four. And the last one is Romans 8:28. Take a look at this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You all know this verse, right? It's a pretty well-known verse. If you've been walking with the Lord for a while, you've probably heard it preached once. Maybe you've memorized it, whatever. It's a great verse. And to me, this really speaks about how often we can lack in perspective. And the reason is this. You get in the midst of it, whatever it is. The only thing is it's not good. And you see it. You're right there. It's staring you in the face. And you're wondering, why, God, is this happening to me? And you're struggling in seeing anything good whatsoever in the midst of it. Have you ever been there? That's a dumb question, isn't it? Of course you've been there. We've all been there. You don't have to live much more than a couple years to be there. You can't see it. The only thing you see is what's bad. And yet, look at what the Bible says. In all things, that word all is pretty important. It means all. There's no other way that you can get around that. In all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God is working for good. For who? For you. For me. For all those who know him and love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, the book of Ephesians is, in my opinion, one of the deepest and most penetrating books in the entire New Testament. And in the beginning of that book, Paul talks about the fact that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ as Christians. And in that discussion, he talks about how God called and chose us. We don't often think about it that way. We often think about it from the standpoint of the fact that I chose Jesus. And we did. I mean, you have to make a choice to put your faith in Christ. Plus, as Pentecostals, I'm not so sure we like the idea too much of God choosing us, because all of a sudden that leads us down the road of something called predestination. Does God choose some and not others? And I fear that that doctrine and our wrestling match with that doctrine clouds the fact that however you look at it, however you want to define it, God chose you to be his. He called you to be a part of his family. God did. And we know that in all things, he works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. If God has called you, if he has chosen you, which he has, according to the word, to be his, okay, he's going to work for good on your behalf. You can take it to the bank, right? Because that's what the word of God says. How many of you believe that the word of God is true? Yeah, we all would say that. So believe it. Trust that word. Even in the hardest of times. And then what's cool is when you get through that tough time, all of a sudden it's like you can see the light. Have you ever been there where you're in the middle of it and it isn't easy? You trust the Lord, you get through it. And then on the other side, you say, oh, Lord, that's what you were doing the whole time. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about discipline and how God disciplines his children. Have you ever been disciplined by a parent when you were younger? Sure, and the discipline would have been different for each one of us. Some of us may have gotten the paddle. Others would have been sent to their rooms. You're punished for a week. You can't see your friends, whatever it might have been. Discipline does not feel good. Nobody likes discipline. Who likes discipline? But the Bible says that God disciplines his children. And he disciplines us. And that discipline hurts, but at the end, it produces holiness and the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And he'll use different situations to discipline us, different ways to discipline us. We may not see what he's doing, but we know he's doing something because he's building in us holiness, righteousness, and he's working for good. I think that's good news. Yeah. So, perspective. I know for myself it's something that lacks at times. You know, this word was dropped into my heart, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago, and I would love to stand up here before you and say that I walk with God's perspective all the time. And if I was to say that, you can stand up and point at me and just say, you're a liar, buddy. Because it's not true. I don't. I'm still learning. Still learning, still growing in this area. And I think it's an area that we can all grow in. Whether, again, we're dealing with marriages, families, even churches. What's God saying about this? What's God doing? How's he building us? What is the good he's bringing out of it? And as we're in the midst of it, are our eyes fixed on him? Are our minds stayed upon him? Is his presence and the joy and pleasure that comes with it, is that our heart? Is that our desire? Anyway, I wanted to share that with you. And again, my hope and my prayer was that God would continue to teach each one of us and help us to see things through his eyes. He sees things differently than we do. Remember, the scripture says his thoughts are above our thoughts, right? He sees things differently. And as we gain more and more of his perspective, I think that will change us and it will change us for the good. And in the midst of it all, it will give us that hope to keep us going, even when it seems hopeless. Can we stand together? By the way, it's also a good reminder to pray. Seek his face. Lord, give me wisdom in this situation. Show me what you're doing. Show me the bigger picture. And if he's silent, and he doesn't show you the bigger picture right away, trust him. Trust him anyway. You'll see it eventually. Might take some time, but you'll see it. Father, we thank you that you do indeed call us your sons and daughters, and that you work for good in all things in our lives. Lord, we ask here this evening that you would help us to see things through your eyes, that we would have your perspective more and more on life. And Lord, when we can't see, help us to simply trust you, because we know that you can see, and you're leading us. Father, I pray for anyone in here right now who is going through a tough time. I pray that you'd be with them. I pray that you would give them your peace and that their minds would be fixed and stayed upon you. We pray that for this congregation. We pray this for your believers all across this world, especially our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted in foreign countries. Some are losing their lives. They're losing family members. They're being thrown in prison. They're being shunned. Lord, they're hurting. But may they see that you're with them. You'll never leave them nor forsake them. And that somehow, some way, you're working good. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Well, Lord bless you all. And may you go with God's perspective.